Song this morning were so wonderful. Turn Bibles, please, to the book of John. Tells us about a subject that we're going to be looking at this morning, the book of John. Found your place. We'll begin reading with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Good news. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's look at the subject this morning, the Word of God. He lets us know that without that Word, He is the Word, dwelling within our heart, we can't go to heaven. And many people say they have believed, and many people have believed, and many people that have said they believe do not believe. Kind of a confusing subject, isn't it? Unless God clarifies it and tells exactly what to make of it, which he does. This scripture that we're going to read will be in Mark chapter 4. The same occasion is also in Matthew 13 and in John chapter 8, but we won't have time to turn to all those this morning. We're going to be looking at Mark and see what Mark has to tell us about this subject. I've preached probably this message, but not this message, but about the parable of the seed sower that sows seed. But the other night, the Lord woke me up and said, I'm going to show you something. I love it when he wakes me up. You get up and phones aren't ringing and nothing going on except the Lord speaking to your heart through his word, of course. And let's look this morning at Mark chapter 4. At the Word of God. Now, the Word of God will do what He intended to do, but we have to receive that Word. As I said before, many say they have, and many may have. But He clarifies it so clearly in Mark chapter 4. Let's begin reading with verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Interesting word, hearken. Stand at full attention to. And in this hearkening, he wants us to understand, he didn't put anything in the Word of God that's not important. Give audience to, give full attention to. And so I thought it would be worthwhile to go back and see where God used that word at other times. May help us understand this whole subject we're going to read about, because it's mighty important. He says, hearken, give full attention to. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10, first time he uses these two words together, Jeremiah says, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. opens up the avenue. And anytime God uses a word, the first time he uses it, opens up a whole new avenue. So we see the word behold and hearken. Give full attention to. Come and see. Come and see. Let us know. And Jeremiah had already told us many, many years before Christ said this, that many will pretend that they believe and they won't really hearken to it. It's just something that they say they have, but they really don't. And then the word behold. The word behold means to look at, to see, visibly to see, and most of all in your soul to see. And the first time he uses that would be in Matthew 1:20. Listen how significant this is. But while he thought of these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take to thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. First time he uses the word behold is the fact that he is introducing Joseph to the fact that Mary, his espoused wife, was going to be with child, and the word will become flesh and dwell among us. And Jesus is giving this audience now about hearken, give full attention to, come and see, and behold what he has to say about. There's four different groups of people he identifies here. And every one of us are within one of those groups. I can't tell you which group you're in, but the Lord can, and you should fully understand before you leave here this morning which group you're in. Listen to what he says. Now, first of all, he's going to speak in a parable. Remember, a large audience is there. The disciples are there. The publicans are there, and the scribes and the Pharisees. Everybody's looking on and listening, a large crowd. And he speaks in parables. We'll understand in a few minutes why he does that. So verse 3 says, behold, there went out a sower to sow. He's telling us about something that we all know about, particularly people in that time. Today, you know, people live in cities, and I guess everybody ought to know about sowing seed. And the seed he's talking about is the Word of God. Remember, John, the Word is God made flesh. And we have his written Word, and Jesus is the Word, everlasting Word, and he wants to save us, seal us, come live in their heart, the Word. So now, since there is a sower, he went out to see, to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Second group. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it hadn't no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Third group. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Then this is the fourth group. Another fell on good ground, and did yield that sprang up, did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. This, have you ever noticed a small grain of seed? Some of them are so small. I remember growing up, I would watch my grandfather and my father had to take some of those seeds, just a little bit, and you'd thimbleful is all you needed, and that little seed would come up and bear fruit, whether it was a grain or whatever it was. And the Word of God, and that Word was Christ Jesus, and he left heaven and was so small he came and lived within the womb of a virgin called Mary. Thank God she gave birth, as Jeremiah told us, and as we saw in the book of Luke that we read a while ago. And now that seed that was in Mary sprang up in the Word of God. And now Jesus is out telling the disciples, others, you, myself, about this Word as it's sown. How do we sow the Word of God? We read it, we preach it, we proclaim it, and then that seed will come up. He said, my word will not return to me void. It's going to fall somewhere. Four different places it may fall. But let's see what he means by all this, this parable he's talking about in verse 9. And he said to them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of the parable. And he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things were done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. He said to them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. The word of God. It is read, it is heard. And when it is preached and proclaimed, ears hear it. Then what happens can go four different ways. He lets us know that the word of God is so important. And he also lets us know that this word of God can spring forth to everlasting life. It lets us know that a lot of people are not interested at all. They say, just leave it alone. Don't want to understand it. Don't want to know it. But still, it will be sown. It will not return to him without having some consequence. And the consequence, he leaves up to you and up to me. But he already knows that many don't think anything about it. And he separates these into four different groups. And the first group, again, he's going to explain so simply. You really can't miss this. The first group are representing those people that have no interest at all. Maybe they hear it, but they don't want to regard what it says. Let's read what he says about that in verse 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So he lets us know in the previous, and in Matthew and in Luke, that these people are without repentance. You can't mistake that. These people are not saved. I didn't say it. The Word of God says it. The Word of God says it. They're without repentance. But then he lets us know more about this group. So let's look at today's group. When people hear the Word of God, but they don't like what it says and they want to change it whatever way, let's go back and look at the history of their country. Some of the great universities of yesteryear, I won't name them by name, but just think of the Ivy League schools. And they were great. Jonathan Edwards preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, thousands getting saved. And then they came along and said, we don't like it like it is. It's a little bit hard. We like to live our lives and the social drinking and all that stuff. And they started changing it. Well, the Word of God has already said what's going on. They're without repentance, those people that change it. And today, it's very dangerous to take the Word of God and to try to proclaim it and say what it says without being saved. It's a mess. And I remember not too long ago when I heard about some schools, colleges, are starting to teach a course in the Word of God. And I first said, that is wonderful. And then I started talking to people that were in some of those classes, in some of those schools. And before they got out of that class, the students that kind of didn't know whether the Word of God was true or not, most of them came out saying the Word of God is nothing. It's not really real. So see, the people, many of them that are teaching, don't know God. They're without repentance. And then the scripture says that they will induce, and before it's all over, all people that have heard what they proclaim, because they're not proclaiming the true word of God, then they end up agnostics and skeptics. Agnostic in the Greek means one that's not informed. So they come out more confused than they were. Oh, the Word of God is going to have results, but be careful. Jesus said, let's read that again, what he said about these in verse 15. And these are they by the wayside, where the Word is sown, but when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately. So people, wherever they are, they hear the Word of God, but the people that may be teaching it aren't saved. They're without repentance. And Satan's there. He lives in them. And he immediately takes that word, which they twist up and confuse. And many of them say, hey, well, the Bible is not all the Word of God. Many, it's an old saying back when I was a young man, they started saying this, that Genesis is a fairy tale. And if you don't believe in the book of Genesis, you're not going to get anywhere in the Word of God, because that's the beginning. We read already what John says, in the beginning was God. There wasn't anything made that was made without him. And if you can't believe that, and I witnessed the people before, and they were lost, and they knew they were dying. And they knew that since they were lost, they were going to go to the devil's hell. I mean, they knew that. And they knew all they had to do was believe it. Well, that heard that all they had to do was believe in their heart and get saved. So in witnessing to them, many of them would say to me, if I could only believe the Bible. I can argue with that. Nothing else to say. Because if you don't believe the Bible, you can't get saved. If you don't believe the Bible, how do you know Jesus was the Son of God? How do you know anything? And this is what he's saying. Those people heard somewhere, maybe they heard a preacher preach, or they were introduced. There is a God, and in their heart, they didn't want to accept it because they knew that they have to change. And he lets us know that without conviction, and when the Word of God is preached, sometime in your life, whether you're 9 or 90, and you've heard the Word of God, conviction takes place. God convicts your life and your heart that you're lost, you're undone, you're without him. And if you shun that and push that aside, you're going to be in that first group, and you're going to remain there, because this first group are unrepentant. And they don't accept the true Word of God, all of it, because they want to change it the way they want to. But then there's a second group. I have a feeling most of the people in the world today fall in that first group. It's not for me to decide. I just know their fruits. That's what Jesus said about it. But look at the second group. Let's go back and read verse 5 again. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depths of the earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Listen to what Jesus said about that in verse 16 and 17. I classify this group as no response. First group, no repentance. Absolutely no repentance. You've got to be clear about that, because that's what he said. If you read Matthew and Luke and Mark, all in that, there is no repentance. They're not saved. They have not accepted him for Savior. The second group, there's no response. Oh, they heard it, and somehow they realized by the Word of God, the conviction was there for sure. The conviction said, you're lost, you need a Savior. And they believed something about it, and they were quick to make a change. And that would be good, except it wasn't in their soul, it wasn't in their heart. It was only skin deep. And you can tell that by looking at worship, so-called worship today in America, and even in many churches, where God is not put first. It's a feel-good feeling, a social gathering, something that makes you feel good. But when you go out and the sun springs up, and when trials and things come, there's no depth to it. And then he said, they just fall away. You probably know people like that. Hope none of you are like that. But they've heard the Word of God at some point in their life. They said they were saved. And Jesus identifies this group. Read again, verse 16. And these are they likewise which were sown on stony ground. It's like the seed. Picture that. A seed sower sows seed. Some of the wayside, some on stony ground. just maybe a little enough soil there to get the root to start sprouting a little bit, but the sun comes out. And it can't go deeper. The Bible says the root goes downward and the plant grows upward. That's a Christian's life. Our roots are in the Word of God, and we grow up and we understand and we want to help someone else get saved. But this group now, when the sun comes up, they have no substance and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And Jesus says we ought not to be ashamed of him, because if we're ashamed of him, then he will be ashamed of us. And these people are without response. They're not responsive to the things of God. They want to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell, but they don't want to live for him. And they don't want to have their life anchored in the Word of God to serve him and to follow him. Many are in that group. But there's a third group. This third group is verse 7. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. This is what Jesus told about it in verse 18 and 19. I call this group with no rejoicing, because we ought to rejoice in the Lord no matter what. There will be hard days, and there will be bad events in their life. But greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And no matter what happens, we can rejoice in him if we're in the right group. But this group have no rejoicing, and he tells us why they don't. In the 18th verse, and these are they which are sown among thorns, which is hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. That's just as clear as it can possibly be. They accept the Lord because they want to go to heaven, don't want to go to hell. And then other things come in that seems more, churches that Laodicea in the book of Revelation was the same way. They left their first love those churches had. And other things, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the riches of the world, and other things became more important. Boy, this must be a large group. I'm proud God controls the groups. But we ourselves individually get to decide which group we're in. If we want to be in the last group we're going to talk about next, you can do that. But there are those that remain in these groups. Look what he says in verse 18. Sown among thorns. Oh, we are a minority in this world. And if you're looking, I've heard people say, I don't want to work there because there's no Christians there. Well, that sounds pretty good. And it's hard. Thorns, right? But did you ever think, if you're truly saved, you don't have to be choked at by them. You can sow the seed and maybe some of them will hear the word of God. I guess I'm trying to say just go where God sends you. If God sends you to a particular place to work and he sends you, let him worry about everything else. You just make sure that you know where God wants you to be, or whether it's in some other place. But he said, where we're at in the world, there's many, many more lost people, God haters, God deniers, than there are Christians. And he casts those as thorns. You work among them, you talk among them, and then pretty soon the problem is those people let some of those people's wine drinking and partying and everything they do rub off on them. And they say, well, I guess there's no harm in it. And then what happens if you do that? He said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You see, the problem with staying in that group is you won't be fruitful. Your children won't be fruitful. Your grandchildren may not be fruitful. Because I realize each of us are individuals, but see, children, grandchildren are watching you. And we, if we're faithful to the house of God, they may or may not be, but in their hearts, they'll know that Papa and Granny and Dad and Mom, they were faithful, and God will, if they're saved, God will convict them if they aren't. But on the other hand, if you and I as parents and grandparents, we aren't faithful, then they'll say, well, nobody else is doing it, you know, and Mom, Dad, they go if they want to. See what I'm saying? And that chokes at the word in their life. I didn't say if you're saved, you're going to hell. I'm saying that they're unfruitful. If you're saved, you're saved. And God knows that. A lot of people don't know if they're saved or not. But God will let you know that. But one thing I do know, he just said that those people that have the cares of the world and let other people influence you in the way you live and the way you think, you won't be fruitful. You won't be fruitful serving God. You won't be a witness to him to get others saved. But we need to be a witness to get our children saved, our grandchildren saved, and other people around. If you're a Sunday school teacher, or if you have a position in the church, people are looking at you. And in the hard times, when the thorns and the thistles grow up around you and your children, they're looking back to see what Dad and Mom did. And if they were not faithful to the house of God and were not bearing fruit, I'm not saying the children will go that way, but the way history has been in my lifetime, that's the way most of it will go and has gone. It doesn't have to be that way because some children are a lot more faithful than their parents, thank God. But the other way around is usually the case. But now I want to get into the last group. We've looked at those people that absolutely were not saved. He said they wasn't saved, lest they would be saved, he said. Then we saw those people that didn't have any response. They've let the cares of the world choke it out. On stony ground, those seed, hard hearts. And then no rejoicing. But lastly, this is a group every one of us should strive to be in. Hopefully we can be there. Verse 8. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. Doesn't that sound a lot better to be in that group bearing fruit 30 or 60 or 100-fold than a group that can't rejoice because they've been choked at? Other things are more important to them. They're not responsive, or even worse, not even repented of their sin. But this group that lets that seed fall on a soft, tender heart, and you realize the thing within you, you want to have a heart like Jesus. You want to be like him in this world. You want to learn to think like he thinks. And you can do that through the word. You can have the cares of the world mean little to you. What others say or do, peer pressure can mean absolutely nothing to you. What others do, for me, what others do wrongly, I have learned more. I've said a million times, or at least a lot. What others do and say has a reverse effect on me. If I see other people living wrongly, it makes me more determined to want to live right. Seeing people live wickedly just tears me up. Don't have any desire whatsoever. Makes me, well, at least some of us ought to try to do right. Let's be in that minority, because this is going to be the fruitful people. God will increase us 30, 60, some 100-fold. I've told this before, but it sounds so good. I love you wasn't here. I remember when I was reading this as a young preacher years and years, years ago. I said, boy, that'd be good. And I was reading about Isaac. Isaac went out, and in 1 year, God increased Isaac 100-fold. And I had a garden, Sandra and I, and I looked at a stalk of corn, and one seed had grown that stalk of corn, and there was two ears on it. And the Lord says, pluck one of those ears and count the seed. Okay, I plucked the seed, the ear, and shelled it off and counted it, and there was 100 grains, not counting what I call the nubbin, the little part toward the end, where you're on the farm, we call that the nubbin. You feed that the chicken one. And the Lord said, see how I've increased you? 200-fold, 2 ears of corn, 1 seed. Just live for me and I'll increase you. I'm not saying monetarily, I'm talking about spiritually. Remember one time that I had an extra $100 that I'm going to invest in something, or, and the Lord said, just put that in the Lord's work and let me keep the dividend. I was thinking about maybe playing the stock market, buying some stock or whatever. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but the Lord says, I can do better than that. You have to worry about your dividends. After that, Darren was called to preach, and oh, I can't tell you all the blessings that God just bestowed upon me. Why? Because he said, I'll increase you 30, 60, 100-fold. Why? See what he says in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. That seed, that word of God, falls on a heart that is convicted. The heart realizes and knows, without God, I'm nothing, I'm going to hell. And you allow him to open up your heart, and he plants that seed of faith within you. You accept it, you're humble, and you want what God wants in your life. And then he continues, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And we don't even have to produce the fruit. The Lord does that. All we have to do is accept him, ask forgiveness, he does the rest. Oh, I thought you had to live for him. No, that's the good part. You get to live for him. He permits us. He gives us opportunity to serve him. And all the increase, it may not be monetarily, but it's spiritually. The thing that your children get saved, and your grandchildren get saved, and the church flourishes, and your heart is full, and you're not like that group, the third group, not rejoicing. You're rejoicing. Oh, I can rejoice, you say, when things go good, but you can learn to rejoice when things go bad, because our hope is in him. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the strength we have in him depends upon the joy of the Lord. And that just falls on the open heart that's willing to confess their sins, acknowledge him, and believe everything in the word of God and strive to live according by it. And when we don't, we get convicted because we belong to him. And then we'll ask forgiveness again. And since we're saved, we're his children, he blesses us. The word of God. It's so simple. You're in one of these four groups, and you don't have to struggle to find out which group you're in. Go back and read the text again. Hopefully you may be unrepentant. That first group, they're not saved. He said so. You can't argue with him. And the second group, they have no joy within themselves. And there's nothing in their heart to give him praise for. There's no response to the things of God. It doesn't matter to them how they live. They just keep on doing what they want to do. And the third group, they do what others want them to do. That last group, you just do what he wants you to do. And when you don't, you feel terrible and you say, Lord, forgive me and help me. And then you want your children to live like that and your grandchildren. Pretty soon, you want everybody to live like that, and you'll pray for them. Stand, Miss Tiffany, come and sing a song invitation. The question would be, not from me, but from him, the Lord, what group are you in? You're in one of the four. Your heads just bowed, please. If you're in that first group and you've not repented and you're unrepented, still lost, God would save you if you'd believe in him. And I don't have to reiterate the other groups. But you're in one of those. He explains it so simply you couldn't miss it. Absolutely could not miss it. Thank you, Lord, for your written word. For the Spirit of God. Your heads are bowed. You respond to The way the Lord speaks you, the altar is open. God, that we can be in that last group with great rejoicing because our name is written there. Much better than without response or with no joy, much better than without repentance, but with great rewards. He gives them down here on earth, some 30, some 60, some 100, but in heaven, eternity with Him. Thank God. The usher's going to come. We're going to receive the offering for the flood victims. Realize this is a lot of offerings. But their church is a giving church, and God gives the rewards. We've given to Him, and He repays back. He can't outgive God. And only by God's grace, that kind of tragedy did not happen to us. It may have happened to some people you know. Some of your friends, some of your loved ones down there. God has helped us so we can help. Let's go to Him. Brother Jason, come up here and pray the prayer of thanksgiving for the offering, if you will, please.
Come to you this morning. We want to thank you, Father, that things are as well with us as they are, Father. Lord, we know that we have troubles, we have trials, we have hurts, we have things that are not always going our way, but Lord, you've always been there through it all. You've helped us through it, Lord. You've provided for us through it, God. And we just want to thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'd have your blessing on this offering, Father, that's going to go to these hurricane victims. And God, we just ask, Father, that you touch them. Lord, we pray, Father, that you'd save them, Father, if they're not saved. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for their well-being, Lord, that you'd comfort them during their time of loss. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that you'd just strengthen them, Father, help them to rebuild all that's been taken down. And God, we just ask, Father, that you just make a way in the wilderness, Lord. We know that we're going through trials in this nation. We go through tribulations one after the next. But Lord, you're always right there. And God, may we seek you. And Lord, I pray, Father, that this would make a way for revival to come, Father, that you would just have your Holy Spirit place his hand upon this nation one more time. God, we want to thank you one more time for all your blessings and praise you, Father, for all your goodness. In Jesus' name.
As you're leaving, you can pick up, the ushers will give you a third quarter financial report. Take it home and read it, and then we'll have a business meeting and talk about that and any other business that may come up. On your way out, pick that up. While you're giving, don't forget the revival. I should say more than that. Not only don't forget it, not forgetting it is only half the thing. Come. If you've never heard Brother Leonard Fletcher, his name is Fletcher. He's never been to Fletcher until last year in his life. He lives in Tennessee. Great songwriter, evangelist, singer, preacher. Please come. May, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Brother Gary, will you come dismiss us, please? Thank you for giving. Thank you for coming.
Father, we thank you for this day that we could set aside to come to your house to worship you, Lord, and for the songs of Zion that was sung here today, and for the preached word, Father. Help us all to be up and about our Father's business, knowing that life is short, Father, and we need to be leading others to you. We thank you for all you've done this day and to supply each need of each one. Lord, you know the needs of each heart. And Lord, we pray to supply that according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.